Right, good morning, church. It's glad to see each and every one of you that you can join us this morning for a time of worship. And for those of you joining online, we want to say a special welcome and hope you would enjoy our service this morning. Stephen, our senior minister, isn't here today, so I'll be leading the proceeding this morning. And I want to say a special welcome to Cy Elmore. Cy and I work for the same company, and Cy is our operations director / chief manufacturing officer. So please say welcome to Cy. Glad to have you with us this morning, Cy. So before we get into a time of worship this morning, I'll pray and then I'll hand over to Ayodeji and the worship team, and they will lead us into a time of worship. Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you once again for this privilege, for this opportunity that we can be gathered here together as your people in your name. Thank you for this is the day that you have made. And Father, as we come together, Lord, we ask that you would meet with us, Lord. We thank you that your presence is here with us and your Holy Spirit is in our midst, Father. And Lord, as we release ourselves this morning, as we look to you unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and as we worship you, Lord, may your presence Lord, be among us, Lord, that when we leave this place, we can say it was truly wonderful to be in your presence. Be exalted, be glorified, and be lifted up, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll hand you over to Ayodeji and the worship team to lead us into a time of worship. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning, church. Good morning. Are you happy to be in God's presence?
Yes.
Now, I always love to ask questions. So I want to begin again this morning by asking you this question. Do you know when you slept last night? The exact time. Can you tell me? The exact time you slept. Anyone? You can try. You know the exact time you slept? 6:30? Are you sure? All right. Why am I asking this? I know the Lord has been good and faithful to us since the start of this year. But I read from Psalm 121, verse 4. It said, "Behold, he who keep Israel will neither sleep." I'm reading from Amplified. It said, "Briefly, nor sleep soundly." Right? It said, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand." So if you don't have any reason to thank God this morning, one of the reasons which I would like you to praise God for is that the God who watches over you neither sleep nor what? Nor slumbers. Right? He neither sleeps nor slumbers. He's always watching over you. Even when you are sleeping, even when you are out, is he automatic to go out and to return back home safely? No. There is a God who watches over us. So with this and all the blessings and the miracles the Lord has done for you in the month of July, and with excitement in your heart, I would like you to stand on your feet as we start our worship to God this morning by singing praise choral. That is, our praise in the valley, praise on the mountain. So let everything that has breath do what? Praise the Lord. So that's where we are starting this morning. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. my God, my Savior, has cast off
my hands from me.
And like a flood,
express that love to Jesus now. I say, I love you, Lord, for your mercies never fail me.
All my days I've been held in your hand.
From the moment I wake
up,
oh yes,
until I lay my head,
I will sing. I sing all my life you'll be faithful, to sing.
All my life you have been faithful.
All my life you have been so good, Lord.
All my life you have been so, so good.
With every breath,
with every breath that I am in
you, I will sing,
I will sing all your goodness.
Testimony this morning, all my life.
All my life, you have been so, so good.
With every breath,
with every breath that I have
been, I will sing,
I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running out. Running after me.
And you say that with confidence.
Your goodness is running after me. It's running after me. If my life lay down, I surrender now. I give you everything.
Your goodness is running.
Your goodness is running after me. It's running after me.
Before the mountains, I say one more time, your goodness.
Your goodness is running after me. It's running after me.
Your goodness is running.
Your goodness is running after me. It's running after me.
Oh, my life lay down.
I surrender now. I give you everything.
Your goodness, Lord.
Your goodness is running after me. It's running after me.
My life, you have been faithful.
Are you sure about that?
All my life, you have been so, so good.
With
every breath that I am in you,
I will sing.
I will sing of the goodness of God.
I will sing. Father, this morning we sing of your goodness. This morning we sing of your love. This morning we sing of your faithfulness. This morning we reflect on your wonders. And we say you are a good God. You are a faithful God. You are too faithful to fail. You have proven yourself in our life, and we know that you are our Father. You are our friend. You are everything to us. Thank you for all the blessings and all the miracles you have extended to us in the month of July. Thank you for divine provision. Thank you for sound health. Thank you for preservation. Thank you for rescuing us from the dangers of the day and the pestilence in the night. We have come to say thank you and to say we love you. May your name be praised forever. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Put those hands together for Jesus. And please be seated in God's presence. I want to ask you a question this morning again. Sorry, I love to ask questions. Good. What is the difference between my friend and my best friend? Is there any difference between, he is my friend and he is my best friend? Anyone who wants to try? Yes, thank you. Ethan. Ethan is worshiping in church for the first time today, coming with his grandpa. Please celebrate God in his life. That's Ethan. Ethan is a friend to Israel in school. So nice meeting you. Yes, let's hear from you. Okay, a best friend is someone you spend more time with, and a friend is someone you spend less time with. Do you agree with him?
Yes.
Good answer. Yes, any other answer from here? And from the gallery? Difference between friend and best friend? Yes, we have somebody. Yes, thank you.
Just a friend is a normal, like you meet people and say, oh, hello, friend. But the best friend, you can share your sorrows and your happiness and everything, and you're very open.
Wow, do you agree with that?
Yes.
Oh, a friend is just normal. Hello, hi, how are you? But the best friend, someone you can share your burden, someone you can talk to at any time, someone that knows what you're going through. Good. Now, I need an answer from here. Yes. I need an answer from this constituency. What name should we call this constituency? Okay, I need an answer from this constituency. Then we'll come to the gallery. Difference between friend and best friend. Yes. I'm waiting for you. Yes, thank you.
If something happens, you ring your best friend and tell them.
Oh, beautiful. If something happens, you bring your best friend and you tell them. Yes. An answer from the gallery. Difference between friend and best friend. An answer from the gallery constituency. I trust. Okay.
Can I share something?
Okay, I have answers now. Let's start from, yes, Mary. You can trust your best friend, okay? Yes. Oh, beautiful. I love that. You trust them. They love you even when you mess up. Yes, there's an answer. Yes, beautiful.
My best friend is someone that can help me. But the best friend is Jesus.
Oh, yes. Your best friend is someone that can help you, but the best friend that can stand by you and help you is Jesus. Beautiful. I like that. Now,
can
you add something beautiful? Yes.
Even best friend, you know, best friend can do anything if he's really your best friend. But Jesus is really super best friend because best friend cannot give his life for you.
Wow.
Cannot save you from the sins. But Jesus Christ can save you.
Wow.
If you confess he's your savior. So
Wow! I love that. Jesus Christ is the best super friend. I think I love that. Now, as Christians, I told you I love asking questions. As Christians, God has given us light, right? And he said we should go out there and shine the light of Christ. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
Now, Should we shine the light to just your friend? Or am I supposed to shine the light to everyone?
Everyone.
So what does everyone include? It includes believers, non-believers, yes. Enemies. Someone said enemies. Are you sure? You shine light to your enemies? Oh, that very bad neighbor. Are you sure you shine your light to the person? Ah, your enemies. How practical is that? Can someone share an example with me how you shine light to your enemy? Someone you see as your enemy. And you were still probably in your place of work. Yes. Oh, Muslims. Wow. Beautiful. She has care as Muslims. And she shined the light of Christ to them. Can we celebrate God in our life? Beautiful. Beautiful. Yes. All right. So we are meant to shine the light to everybody, be it your friend and be it your enemy. And that's one of the emphases we're trying to make this morning. There is a kindness that God expects from us that should keep us going, irrespective of who this person may be. And my word for you this morning is that you go forth to be that friend or that best friend that will shine the light that the world will see that Jesus lives in you. You know, if there is darkness all over this place and there's just a little candle, are we going to be able to see? Yes. Because the candle is going to shine forth for us to be able to walk our way so that we will not fall into the obstacles. And so as we go forth, singing the next song, which is talking about shine from the inside out, let the whole world see that Jesus lives in you. So even to that bad friend, even to that bad neighbor, even to that employee who has not been so good to you, you go out there to forgive, to let go, right? You go out there to be a blessing, irrespective of what this person may have done to you. You know, there is a friend, irrespective of what we do for him, irrespective of what we do for God, each time we come to his presence and we kneel and we say, Father, I am sorry. What does he do?
He forgives.
Right? And so the word this morning is, let your light so shine among men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in what? In heaven. Now, let me turn to your neighbor and say, let your light so shine among men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Can we say it one more time? Let your light so shine among men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we'll rise up to sing, shine from the inside out, let the whole world see that he lives in me. Thank you.
Love me, love me, love me. very much. God bless you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Ayodeji and the worship team. Right, at this time, we're going to take up an offering for the work of the church here. And if you're able to give, please do. If you're not, we totally understand that. I know lots of you do give by bank transfer, so that's obviously fine. So like I said, we'll take up an offering now. And if you're able to give, please do so. Thank you. Just pray. Father, we thank you for this, the gifts that your people have returned to you. And Father, may you bless it and help us to use it wisely for the expansion of your kingdom. So Father, continue to bless and smile upon your people and continue to provide and protect them. For we ask this with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, at this time, the young people and the children would go off to their classes. So just before you go, just to say that the Jambusters and the DJs will be meeting in the upper room with Julia and the junior Bible class, and the young people would meet in their normal places. So off you go, young ones.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Before we pray together, I'd just like to say a huge thank you to everybody who gave our friends Becky, Evode, Louise, Kayser, Caleb and Daniel such a lovely welcome last week. If anyone would like to know more about their charity, Yubaka Rwanda, and their orphanage, there's going to be an event held at Pip and Jim's Church in Walderslade on the 6th of August at 6:30. It's going to start with a meal, so if you would like to go, I need to know numbers before the 1st of August. The details are in the notices. also, if you'd like to know anything else, maybe if you'd like to give to them, pray more for them, whatever it is, we have some of these available, which we were giving out last week, and not everyone was able to get one. So they're just on the missionary notice board. There's one on the notice board downstairs and one on the stand. So you can always speak to John and I. We will be rushing off after today's service, but you can give us a call. I'd like to give a special prayer request for Evode. He may or may not have shared with people that he spoke to that he's in stage 4 kidney failure. And the treatment that he receives in Rwanda isn't half as good as he would get if he lived here in the UK. For instance, they don't do live kidney transplants. But the Lord's done many, many great things in his life, and he's seen many miracles. So please pray for more of these. He was particularly unwell yesterday, so please do hold him and the family in your prayers as he's away from his normal doctors and support team. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, you are the great I Am. You are always here with us in the present. We thank you for the gift of prayer, that you delight in us and invite us to come and talk with you, to share our hearts with you, to sit with you, maybe just to be with you, friend with a friend, and bring nothing but ourselves. You always hear us and answer our prayers. Thank you, Lord, that you are never wrong and you are always on time. Increase our trust in you as we cry out to you for the people we know and love and for desperate situations here at home and far and wide. We pray for our pastor Stephen and for Sharon as they have a few days off. Lord, would you bless them as the family all get together and give them rest and refreshment, fun and laughter, and a time of great joy. We pray for teachers and all support staff as they settle into their summer break. Give them rest and refreshment too, Lord. And we pray for children and the parents and caregivers over this long summer holiday. Please keep them safe and well and watch over each one, especially children who are left alone while the parents are working. We thank you, Lord, for the many groups and organisations that our church runs. And as most things close down for the summer, we pray for all the leaders and helpers that you would give them rest. And we pray for members of each group, many who really depend on these groups and the help and support they receive at them. Lord, please keep all of them safe and in good health, mentally and physically. Lord, we lift to you all those who are struggling and suffering with their physical or mental health. We lift to you all those mentioned in our notices, all those known to us in our church family, as well as in our own families and friendship groups. As I pause for a moment, I invite you to bring to the Lord in the silence the names of those on your hearts who are suffering in any way. Lord, please help each one to have the appointments they need. Help them to access the treatment and support they need at the right time. Lord, please bring your healing, your help, and hope for the future. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayers. We remember all those caught up in wars, conflicts, and unrest around the world. We pray for all refugees, all victims of war, and for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones or of their homes and livelihoods, for all those who desperately need food, shelter and safety. We pray for your people around the world to bring your love, your light, your help, your hope, and your very presence to those who are struggling, especially those who do not yet know and love you. In the silence of this moment, please pray for a country at war, a country where there is great unrest, a struggling people group close to your heart, or a major world leader who could make seismic changes. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for the foreign missionaries, people and groups our church regularly supports, for Wilkinson in Haiti, and for the other children of compassion supported by our church members, for compassion worldwide and all the staff, the prayers, the sponsors and givers. We pray for Mark, Sarah, Abby and Josh Noonan, serving the Lord with Mission Aviation Fellowship in Kenya. Please continue to hold and help them, to comfort and heal them in their grief. We thank you for MAF, for the missionaries and staff worldwide, and we thank you for all that they do, and for the prayers and givers. We pray for Kalbasu Dubasu in Chad, working at Guinibor 2 Hospital, and for the many roles he plays as a surgeon and administrator, to name a few. We pray for his wife and family, and for all who are patients, staff or visitors at the hospital. May that place shine for you, and may each visitor and patient see and sense you at work there. We thank you for all other home and away mission organisations and people that we support as a church. Enlarge our capacity to give without counting the cost for the work of all who serve you at home and abroad. And Lord, would you speak clearly to specific individuals in our church as you call them to pray, to give and to go. We ask your blessing on all who serve in any way in our church on Sundays and throughout the week, from those who do very small unseen things to those who have major jobs to do. We thank you for each one of them. And please give a double blessing to those who cannot attend church through ill health, old age or infirmity. Thank you for each one, Lord, and thank you, Lord, that many can attend via the live stream, which we are so grateful for. We pray that more and more people from this church would be seeking you to see how they can serve you more fully in their lives, at home, in our church, in their school, college or workplace, within the restrictions of work, family, health and ability. Help us to see the gifts in others and encourage them to step out in faith. Thank you that we are the body of Christ and each member is so important. Thank you that you set the lonely in families, that we are the family of God. Bless us each one and help us to shine for you and to take you out of this place and into our homes, our workplaces, our neighbourhoods and our communities. We bless you and we praise you for all of your provision to us, your abundant gifts and blessings. Amen.
If you're happy to sing, please rest right to your feet as we sing the song Reckless Love.
Spoke the word, you sing all over me. You have been so, so good to me. Oh, we are open, never end.
Good morning. The reading this morning is from 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. And firstly, I'll be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow and his belt. And now from 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 to 13. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "Your servant," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the home of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lo Debar. So King David had him brought from Lo Debar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honour. David said, "Mephibosheth." "Your servant," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and all the members of Ziba's households were servants of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table, and he was crippled in both feet. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John, for those two Bible reading. This morning, I just want to speak to us. Can we have the fourth slide, please, Zach? I want to speak to us this morning on God's covenant love. And covenant is one of those words that we don't tend to use very much in our Western modern-day language. But if you look at the Bible is very, you know, it's a book of covenants. First of all, you have the Old Testament and the New Testament. The word testament is basically the word covenant. And just to give you a background of covenants and sort of the meaning of covenants. A covenant is an agreement between God and man. And the emphasis of covenants, it's a spiritual and a relational agreement. And usually it's a relationship between God and his people. With the emphasis on loyalty, faithfulness, and moral obligation. And a covenant is more than a transaction. It's deep, it's sacred, and the impact is usually eternal, and eternal destiny of the people that are involved. And can we have the next slide, please? And tucked away in the reading that John did for us from 2 Samuel in chapter 9, verses 1 to 12, is this beautiful story, which I think is a reflection of God's covenant love for us. And it's a story of King David and Jonathan and Mephibosheth. What a name. Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan. And just to give you a little background of the story of what was happening here, you would all remember that Saul was once chosen to be the king of Israel. And after Saul was king of Israel for a number of years, he, for some reason, disobeyed God. And as a result of that, he lost his the kingship over Israel. And so David was anointed by Samuel, and he became a replacement king. But while Saul was still king, David was a man, the Bible described him, he was a man after God's own heart. And he was a young shepherd boy that looked after his father's sheep. And while he was in the backside of the desert with the sheep, David developed this relationship with God. And he wrote a lot of the Psalms that we have today that you read in the book of Psalms. He didn't write all of them, but he wrote a lot of them. And when you read the Psalms, you can sense this sort of deep relationship that David had with the Lord. He wrote Psalms like, you know, the Psalms like Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Psalms 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?" And while he was, like I said, in the backside of the desert alone with the sheep, he developed this covenant relationship with God. And it was an intimate relationship where he depended on God. And he knew God, not about God, but he knew God. And he had a relationship with God. And just to refresh you, you would remember when there was a time when the Israel was faced with the Philistines, and they surrounded Israel for 6 weeks, 40 days. And there was this giant by the name of Goliath, and he came out and he defied the people of Israel. And while Saul and 22,000 trained soldiers could not do anything to defeat Goliath and the Philistine army, and even though they had a covenant with God, they were not calling upon that covenant relationship that they had. And you would recall what happened, that David, one day he was sent by his father to take some food to his brothers. And as he sort of entered the scene, he heard what was happening. He heard Goliath, this giant, was making a mockery of the people of God. And David said something that is very interesting. He said to the people, he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And by saying this uncircumcised Philistine, he was not swearing at Goliath, but what he was actually saying, he was saying that we are the people of the Most High God, and we have got a covenant with God. But you, Goliath, you do not have a covenant with God, but we do. And like I said, because of his relationship with God, he was able to call on his covenant partner. We know the story of what happened. He was able to defeat Goliath. And because he defeated Goliath, and the people started to recognize David, Saul as king of Israel, he became very jealous. He became very angry that David was getting more popular and he was losing popularity. And even though he was chosen to be a servant of Saul while Saul was still king, he tried to kill David. But Jonathan, who was King Saul's son, he saw something was different about David. And the Bible said that they were very good friends. They had a really good bond. And in the first reading that we had, it says that David made a covenant with Jonathan. And like I said, a covenant is not something that we tend to hear much about in our modern-day Western language. But a covenant is much stronger than a contract that we know about. Because like I said, the emphasis on a covenant is loyalty, faithfulness, and moral obligation. And when David and Jonathan made that covenant or that agreement, they were basically saying, "If you die, I will take care of your family for the rest or as long as I'm alive." And what happened with the story is that Saul and Jonathan were one day, they were in battle. And while in battle, both of them were killed. And after they were killed, the news came back to Israel, and there was this nurse that was nursing for Mephibosheth, who was Jonathan's son. And when she heard the news that King Saul and Jonathan died, she grabbed Mephibosheth and she tried to escape with him. so that he can be protected. And while she ran with this young boy, she tripped and she fell on both of his legs and crushed his legs. And as a result, Mephibosheth became crippled in both legs. And you can imagine the sort of fear and despair in this young man, that his grandfather was once the king of Israel. His father was probably, you know, a prince. And now they're both dead. And he is just left crippled in both legs with no hope and with no future. And so the Bible says that he ended up in this place that is called Lodebar. And by the way, the name Mephibosheth, the meaning of his name was from the mouth of shame. And not only is he probably feeling this sense of insecurity, the sense of shame, but he ended up in this place that is called Lodebar. Now, Lodebar, it's the word debar means word or thing, but when you put the prefix lo in front of it, it's a negator, meaning that Lodebar means it's a place of no thing or a pastureless land. So here, Mephibosheth, meaning shame, ended up in this place of, as we would say in English terminology, in the middle of nowhere. No hope, no one to rely on, nothing to... Nothing for him to have any sort of hope for him. And the Bible said that King David, one day when David became king, as he was contemplating and as he was meditating, he remembered the covenant that he made with Jonathan. And so the king said to he asked the question. He said, "Is there still no one left from the house of Saul that I can show kindness for the sake of Jonathan?" And like I said, David was a man that understood covenant. He had a covenant with God, and he knew that God honored his covenant with him. And so he remembered this agreement that he made with Jonathan and Jonathan made with him. And so he said, "Is there no one who is left from the house of Jonathan that I can show kindness for the sake of Jonathan?" And the Bible says that the servant replied, "Yes, there is one that is left." And he wanted to show kindness. And this was sort of an indication of his kindness initiated by grace. And so when he found out that there was this this son of Jonathan, he wanted to show him kindness. And that's a reflection of God's grace to us. He does not wait for us to qualify for his love. And David didn't ask, he didn't say, "Is there anyone that is worthy enough so that I can show kindness to?" But he said, "Is there anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I can show kindness?" Because he wanted to demonstrate kindness because of the covenant that he made with Jonathan. And for me, that is a reminder of God's love for us. The Bible said that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And we can see that God was the one that made the first move. He was the one that initiated the first step. He sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior. For people that didn't deserve it, he made the first move. And I like what Paul says. He said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. And this, all of this was from God, who was reconciling us unto himself through Christ Jesus. And just like David, because of that covenant with Jonathan, he said, is there anyone that is left of the house of Saul that I can show kindness for the sake of Jonathan? And my friends, God's love for us is unconditional. He doesn't look at what we, what we can do, but what he can do for us. And then the servant replied, there is still a son of Jonathan. But then he said, he's crippled in both feet and he is in Lodibar. And I guess the indication of the servant is like, yes, there is someone, but he is crippled in both feet. He's living in a place of nothingness. What do you, or why do you want to associate with him? And David said, get him, bring him to me. And so we see that Mephibosheth, he wasn't even born yet when David made a covenant with his father, Jonathan. But yet because of loyalty, yet because of a relationship that David had with God, he wanted to honor that agreement. And where was Mephibosheth? He was hiding. He was broken. He was crushed in both feet. And he was hiding in a place called Lodibar, in the middle of nowhere. And I believe that sometimes, in a sense, that represents each and every one of us at some point in our lives. We were once broken. We were once far away from God. Remember the story of Adam and Eve in the Bible? They said that when they sinned, what they did, the first thing they did, was they hid themselves from God. And so every time we do something that we feel that is not right, this sense of guilt and shame and condemnation comes on us as human beings. And so we tend to hide away from the presence of God. But what I like about God, he makes the first step. He always sends someone along our path, someone to encourage us, someone to give us that sort of encouragement, and that we can come back to him. And he always knows where we are. You know, Adam and Eve tried to hide from him, but he said, where are you? And it's a question sometimes we need to ask ourselves, where am I? Am I trying to hide from God? Am I trying to hide from the creator of heaven and earth, who knows me more than I do know myself? And so David made this inquiry, and they said, yes, there is this young boy, but he is crippled and he is in Lodibar, a place of no hope. And then David requested that Mephibosheth be brought to him. And when Mephibosheth came before King David, the Bible said that there was a sense of fear, because he didn't know what the summon was. Was this because, and you would remember Saul at one time wanted to kill David. And I guess Mephibosheth was probably thinking, Is he going to have revenge on me? Is he going to kill me? And so when he came before the king says, do not be afraid. For I will surely show you kindness, and you shall eat at my table always. And here we see David expressing kindness beyond expectation. Something that Mephibosheth never expected to receive in his life. And yet, David said, do not be afraid. You shall eat at my table always. And then David said something that is very interesting. He said, I will restore the inheritance and I will give you a place at the royal table. This wasn't charity, but it was restorative love motivated by a covenant. Kindness means love and covenant mercy. In Christ, God doesn't just forgive us, but he restores us. He adopts us, and he gives us a seat at his table. And it was David who wrote, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? He was in his father's house, but he thought the pastures are greener on the other side. And so he decided to part company with his father, and he went on to a journey. And he soon realized that the grass was not always greener on the other side. But for whatever reason, the Bible says when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants are in my father's house? And here am I in a foreign land as a beggar. But then he made a decision and he said, I will go back to my father. And we know the story. And as he went back to the father was always looking out for him, knowing that one day he would return. And my friends, no matter what you and I have done, God is always looking out when we're going to come back to his restorative love, when he's going to give us or welcome us back with open arms. And so the Bible tells us that God made us alive with Christ Jesus, and he seated us with him in heavenly places. And so he welcomes us back, just like David welcomed Mephibosheth, and he said, from this day forward, you will sit at the king's table. And the next part in the story, we see that, you know, it's a demonstration of the permanence of covenant love, unchanging and secure. And it says, and so Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, and he always ate at the king's table. From a place of nothingness, Lodibar, a pastureless land, to Jerusalem, the city of the king, sitting at the king's table as one of the king's son. And so he went and he sat in Jerusalem and he ate at the king's table. And his invitation was not just a one-time act of generosity, but a lifelong seat of grace as God invites us to come into his presence and enjoy what he has for us. Mephibosheth's condition didn't change. He was still crippled in both legs, but his position changed. He now sat at the king's table. And what I like is that when you sit at a table, you can only see from this part of, no one can see what is under the table, but he sat at the king's table. And so because of covenant love, his position was unchanging and secure. And I like what Paul, the apostle, said. He asked the question, what or who shall separate us from the love of God? And then he lists a number of things, and he said, shall tribulations, distress, persecution, famine, peril, sword. He said, no, in all of these things, if you know who you are in him, you are more than a conqueror through him who loves us. And so, what we see is this beautiful story tucked away in the Old Testament, which I believe is a true demonstration of God's covenant love and grace for us. Can we have the next slide, please, Zach? Next one, please. And so we see it was initiated by grace, not based on our worthiness, but what Christ has done for us. Extended to the broken, God seeks the weak and the wounded. God's love for us is restorative in nature. He gives us more than we have lost. Like David, restore unto Mephibosheth all the land that his father had. And so we see God's love for us is permanent and his promise is eternal. And so let us respond to God's love, not with fear, but with gratitude, loyalty, and worship him because he is the King of Kings. And as I sort of going to bring this to a close, I'm just going to ask the question. I'm going to be like Ayodeji, starting to ask some questions. Who in this room has ever been given an invitation? Whether it's an invitation to attend a wedding or a birthday party. Can we have the... Thank you, Jack. An invitation to, whether it's a birthday party, whether it's a graduation, whatever it is. And I'm sure each and every one of us, at some point in our lives, have been given an invitation. When you've been given an invitation, how did that make you feel? Did it make you feel privileged? Did it make you feel honored, special? Because you were chosen and you were considered, and therefore an invitation was extended to you. And just like David extended that invitation to Mephibosheth, who was in a place of despair with no hope and with no future, and when Mephibosheth came before the king, he accepted that invitation. And as he accepted that invitation, his life was never the same again. And this morning, I just want to remind us of that invitation. And like I said, when you get an invitation, sometimes it's to attend either a wedding or a birthday party, or a function, or whatever it is, and it's usually an event. But this morning, I just want to remind us of that invitation, or the great invitation by Jesus Christ himself. Can we have the next slide, please, Zach? And this is an invitation by Jesus himself in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And it says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take upon you my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your soul. And here we see an invitation by Jesus, not to an event, but unto himself. And I like it from the Message translation, the translation I've got on the screen. And it says, are you tired, worn out, burnt out in religion? Then come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I won't lay anything heavy on or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will live freely. And like we see with Mephibosheth, sometimes we can be in that place of hiding. We can be in that place of not knowing how we're going to face the future. We can be in that place of brokenness, in that place of nothingness. But God is saying to you this morning, come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And like I said, when we get an invitation, sometimes it's to an event. But here the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, you come unto me. Like David recognized his covenant relationship. He didn't know about God, but he knew God. And so this morning, my encouragement to us, let us come unto him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let us accept that great invitation and come unto him so that we can be restored. We can be, we can come back into that relationship with him. And sometimes, you know, we put on a good smile and we pretend that everything is okay. But deep within us is that turmoil, is that emptiness, is that sense of, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Is that sense of brokenness. My friends, only Jesus Christ can satisfy the longing within your heart. And he's saying to us this morning, come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I trust that this morning that that word is going to be an encouragement to us as God restores us and he brings us back into that place of fellowship. Just like Mephibosheth sat at the king's table for the rest of his life, may you stay in his grace. May you stay in the place that he has called you. Children of God, adopted into the family of God, restore back into fellowship with our Heavenly Father. I trust that that word is going to be a blessing to us and an encouragement to us today. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you once again for this time that we can be in your presence this morning. And thank you for your word, Lord, that you said, come unto you, all of us who are heavy laden and burdened, and you would give us rest. Thank you for that great invitation, Lord, not to an event, but to yourself. Father, you know each and every person here this morning. You know the struggle that we face, the brokenness within, Lord, that only you can satisfy. May you take our lives and make something beautiful out of it. May you take our scars and make us stars. May you take our broken life and make something beautiful out of it. Lord, that we can be the people that you call us to be. And so, Father, we commit our lives into your hands and we thank you for your loving kindness, your tender mercies, and for all that you've done for us and what you will continue to do. For we ask this with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
In response to this message, we'll rise to sing, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Take my life and let it be consecrated.
you, Deji. And just quickly, just a few notices before you go. Please do join us after the service downstairs for tea and coffee and a time of fellowship. And I've just been told by Helen as well that their Tesco has given us some sandwiches, so please do take them away. They need to be used up. And at the back in the conversation area, there are some brown envelopes for members. Please do take one if you haven't received yours as yet. There are some without names for non-members, so please do feel free to take one of those as well. Okay, let's just close in prayer and then we'll dismiss. Father, we thank you once again for this time that we've spent in your presence. And Father, as we go, we thank you for your presence with us. May you watch over and keep us safe. And Lord, let your will be done in our lives. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. And the Lord be gracious to you. May you have a blessed and wonderful week ahead. The Lord bless you. Amen.